Technorama episode 399 RC1 for February 26, 2014. No, that's the wrong day. Jeez. Wednesday, the March 5th.
Without you, there is no me.
There we go. Let's try that again. I think Chuck was going back in time. At least it didn't say, you know, February 31st or something like that.
There you go.
All right. Technorama episode 399 RC1 for March 5th, 2014. Technorama in Technicolor.
Woot!
Woot woot.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, I'm looking for some 3D glasses that don't do 3D.
Over there, in the media corner.
Ah, thanks.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to...
Disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew.
Chuck and Craig. 399 and you're talking over your own bumpers?
I'm talking over myself, actually. So there we go. Welcome to Technorama for March 5th. Chuck's got the wrong date in here. And this is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you, and we hope you return, despite what you may hear. And if you're a returning listener, of course, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Craig Stepp, and with me I have special guests tonight because Chuck is lounging somewhere in San Diego having a margarita, is T. Morris and Philippa Ballantyne. How y'all doing?
Hey, doing good.
Fine.
Yeah.
Right next to him.
So these are friends of the show. I hadn't had y'all in on in a long time.
It has been a while. And we love you so much that we are putting off watching True Detective.
Honestly, it's not on just over there.
It is not on. What's going on there, baby? What's going on?
Sorry.
Sorry,
no. We're good. TV's off. See, that's the way it was for me when we were doing the show and Breaking Bad was on. I was like,
there you go.
I had to watch it like on a Monday night instead of Sunday night.
Sacrifices we make.
Yeah. So anyway, how's things going? We'll get to all your projects and stuff in a little bit. I just want to just make some witty banter here. So
we are waiting for the new Snowpocalypse, whatever they're calling this one, Snowmageddon, Snowma something or other, 2014.
So we had to fight our way through people going, but we make our own bread.
We make our own bread in this house. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Roll. Get it?
Yeah. I see what you did there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is what I have to live with. Help me.
Hey, by the way, you know, I see that that Punxsutawney Phil was actually correct, I guess.
Yes, he
Punxsutawney Phil needs a kick in the nuts is what he needs.
We call that a drop kick.
A drop kick, you know, the things that the Broncos couldn't do against the Seahawks. I mean, you know.
Ow. That'll leave a mark. Ow.
Burn.
Yeah.
Burn.
Well,
I was able to get out today. It was nice and 65 and sunny.
That's a weird thing. It's 65. It got up to the 60s here. And the sun was out. And I'm like, they're calling for snow, and then it started to rain, and then they've already
cats
called
and dogs.
Then they've already called it. They've already called the schools for tomorrow.
Oh man!
I mean, literally, we put the boom down, and then
pulled up the stairs. By the way, you don't have to get up early.
Yeah, sleep in. You're good.
Yeah, you're good.
At this rate, she will be going to school in July.
Yes.
Yeah.
That bad.
Guess what? It's now full year school. So
yes, exactly. We're going European this time.
Yeah. Hey, before we get the show started, I do have to make a shout out though. The night the day we're recording this, it's my son's 12th birthday.
Yay!
So, yes,
yay.
It's Harrison's 12th birthday.
Next year, a teenager.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Before we know it, it'd be. Can I get the car?
That's gonna leave a mark.
Can I have the car, please?
No. Well, we've already got the boomers already going. So is this puberty? And I'm like, no, you're 9. No puberty for you.
It's not a clock. You don't look at a clock and go tick 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 puberty.
Oh, boy.
I mean, come on.
Now I can be cranky.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a good time. I'm gonna try and keep everything together, despite having eaten at the Cheesecake Factory tonight.
Does Daddy need a nappy poo?
Yeah, actually, you know what? I did squeeze in a 15-minute one before we
started. Wow, the power nap. The college power nap.
Yeah, I needed it. All right, so let's get started. Coming up in this show, we have T and Pip. We've got some strange jetpack stuff and from the past, and the closest Leonard Nimoy is ever going to get to Star Trek. Star Wars. Ooh. No, Star Wars.
No, because he's not pretty close.
Nimoy
to
was on Star Trek. Yeah, and then, right. So,
anyway, we'll be right back.
I used to have people call all the time. Nine times out of ten, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government. We're called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
And welcome back. Let's see, we're gonna move along here to the on the stand history in just a moment, but believe it or not, we got a voicemail. So You ready to hear this and see if we can decipher it? All right, hold on a second. Here we go.
重复一次，您的认证码是 7101121. 再见.
And that's it.
Really?
Our voice.
I can only assume Godzilla is attacking. What?
It's a warning message.
Yeah, I know.
I think. Chuck said it came to Technorama by mistake and my dry cleaning was ready.
Wow. And I thought the Godzilla joke was inappropriate. Wow. Thanks, Chuck. Wow. Yeah.
We got that earlier. I was like, what the heck is that? Must be something for Chuck. I don't know. Hey, we have gotten facts.
I got a really good one. Maybe it was the same one, but in Chinese, where something about orphans and poor people. Orphans and poor people send money. Orphans,
there you go. Orphans and poor people send money.
Okay.
And you send it to here, 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 and here.
Orphans and poor people send money or send money to them.
Who knows? We'll send them bitcoins because those are really secure right now.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? That's funny. All right. So let's go on this day in history and y'all ready for that? Y'all ready for history, right?
We are all set for history.
Love me some history.
All right, here we go. On this day in history for March 5th, 2014, this is the 57th day of the Gregorian calendar. There are 308 days left remaining in 2014. It was on this date in 1815 that Napoleon, I started to say dynamite, Bonaparte escapes from Elba.
It actually would be more exciting if it was Napoleon Dynamite escapes from Idris Elba.
Gosh. Yeah.
That happened.
And that same date, 1909. Kinemacolor? Yeah, Kinemacolor. The first successful color motion picture process is first shown to the general public at the Palace Theatre in, oh, blighty, in London.
Yeah. HMS Britannic, sisters of the RMS Titanic, is launched at Harland and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast on this day in 1914.
And March 5th. You know what? I wonder if he's got the wrong dates in here, but you know what? We're just going to go with it.
Yeah, we're just roll with
Make
it.
Those days work.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, thanks. President Woodrow Wilson signs the act of the U.S. Congress establishing most of the Grand Canyon as United States National Park. The Grand Canyon, making the Grand Canyon National Park.
It's mostly the Grand Canyon National Park. Not all, but mostly.
Except for this little corner right here.
Yeah. Also today, 1935, Robert Watson Watt carries out a demonstration near Daventry, which leads to the development of radar in the United Kingdom.
Finnish observers report the first of many thousands of sightings of ghost rockets in 1946.
Ghost rockets?
They're not really there.
They don't go boom, they just go boo.
Yeah. And as part of the Apollo program, NASA launches the AS-201, the first flight of the Saturn 1B IB rocket 48 years ago today.
I'd be a rocket, yo.
I'd be yo.
Yeah. And this is the 21st anniversary of the World Trade Center bombing. In New York City, a truck bomb parked below the North Tower of the World Trade Center explodes, killing six and injuring over 1,000.
Wow, 21 years.
I know. I remember when that happened. I remember I was working a show. I was backstage and read all the reports. What?
It's not all about you, dude.
All right. Well, happy birthday on this day goes out to French author, poet, and playwright Victor Hugo, born on this date in 1802.
One at a time. I'm sorry. Let's see. Also born on this date, 1829, Levi Strauss. Not Lebanon Levi, but Levi Strauss. German-American fashion designer, founder of Levi Strauss and Company.
American soldier and hunter Buffalo Bill was born today in 1846.
And John Harvey Kellogg, American surgeon and co-creator of the Corn Flakes, was also born on this date in 1852.
He was a serial killer. Kenneth Edgeworth, Irish astronomer, economist. Yeah, see what I did there?
He's a serial birther.
Kenneth Edgeworth, Irish astronomer, economist, and engineer, was born 134 years ago today. Does not look over a day over 133.
That's right.
It says...
if March 5th.
If March 5th. It is your birthday. You also share it with the likes of American animated producer and voice actor Tex Avery.
Yes.
Actors Jackie Gleason, Mason Adams, and Tony Randall. Singer-songwriter Fats Domino. And astronauts Anatoly Filipchenko and Susan J. Helms.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I want you to do our tech history, or our history all the time.
Okay. I love it. You can call me.
And that's the way it was on this
Sorry,
day.
Sorry, Chuck.
And that's the way it was on this day of March 5th, 2014. Don't check this for accuracy.
Good idea.
Yeah. So, all right, moving on to the news. Now, it looks like, I think this has been passing around, but it looks like there's an open letter from the architect of the Death Star talking about the vents.
The vents,
he
yes.
He has a point. Where are you going to vent all that stuff?
He's got a great point. He really has got a great point.
He made it as small as possible.
Yeah, and I tell you something, I have not laughed so hard than that moment. That moment.
I reckon that was that written by an engineer? Because I would be very unsurprised if an engineer had written that. It's kind of
here, I'm gonna read. I'm gonna open it up here a little bit. The creator of the Death Star has finally spoken out about the blame he took for the flaw in the seemingly impregnable Death Star destruction device. Impregnable? Yeah. To his credit, he makes some incredibly valid points justifying the ventilation and how it's a miracle the event even happened in the first place. Upon finishing the letter, I guess we can go with our points. But anyway, it's a whole letter of the architect of the Death Star explaining explaining why the vent's there and its necessity. But yes, this was hilarious.
Well, you got it. I mean, and space wizards. I mean,
yeah.
In your risk assessment on the Death Star design, were space wizards ever considered?
Yeah. So you got to have these vents, you know, it keeps the Death Star up to space code.
And I do enjoy the snark here. So, but exhaust port designer, you say, all of the magic space wizards were killed. You got me there. Oh, wait, that's right. The kid who took the shot just happened to be named Skywalker. Yep, same as our leather daddy asthmatic boss. And he just so happened to be from the same planet as old Chokey. As it turns out, he wasn't even using his targeting computer when the winning shot. What a coincidence. I mean, it's
conspiracy. I think he's just into a conspiracy.
It's a whole, I mean, what starts as a very intelligent letter just dissolves into this rant, this incredible rant. I mean, absolutely epic rant.
Well, you can understand the guy's career has probably gone nowhere since then.
Yeah, he hadn't gotten work forever. Yeah, since
and then say, anyways, I was somehow left off plans to build a new Death Star. I noticed the plans allowed for a giant Millennium Falcon-sized hole right in the middle that leads to the core. So maybe a tiny exhaust port won't look that much of an oversight suit. The Fs not be given.
Yeah, the next one you could fly ships into the thing.
Yeah, I know. But you know, the thing is, the guy, whoever this guy was, he does have a point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, his flaw in the the Death Star, in the original Death Star, makes sense because you know it is a moon-sized space station.
Well, they have to. I mean, otherwise everyone's going to choke on carbon dioxide and die, right?
Or it's going to blow up due to the pressure.
Oh yeah.
There's no atmosphere on this thing to work like Earth.
And you see, yeah, and that flaw makes sense. Unlike the flaw in, I believe it was the Starship Dauntless from Into Darkness, Uh-huh. I mean, it's like okay, this is a new spaceship. It's 40 times the size of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
But there's this little man-sized porthole. We have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
But that's what you're going to find.
But it's in a giant hangar.
Yeah.
There's a tiny hole.
Giant hangar, and the only way out of this tiny hangar is this man-sized porthole. Hey,
well, then what man would ever turn up there?
Well, you know what they call that, right?
No.
It's a plot device.
Ah, there you go. There you go. And of course, because it comes from a super secret Starfleet thing, this plot device, yes, it's classified. So only J.J. Abrams understands what its purpose is.
Yeah, there's an engineer somewhere writing a letter right now. I put it in there for a reason. There's a reason why the plot, you know.
Yeah, I
where I plug in my iPhone.
Yeah, there we go. That's where Khan plugs in his iPad to charge it up, because he needs another shot at Star Wars Angry Birds.
Yeah. Actually, you know what that I kept thinking of when I read this engineer letter about the Death Star, going back to that, I kept thinking of in Clerks where they're talking about the stormtroopers and everything.
See, I have not
being unable to shoot anything.
No, when they were talking about the Union and the
I have not seen Clerks.
You have not seen Clerks?
I've seen Clerks.
I'm very late to the party.
It was back in the 90s, man.
Yeah, early 90s.
Just like the 60s, but 30 years later.
But 30 years later, right.
Well, T's development stopped at 1989.
Pretty much. Hey, look, it was only last year I finally got to see The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
I finally sat down and watched. Yeah, I know.
And, brother, we're out now.
Yeah, but it's okay, because
The Big Lebowski is a necessity.
I mean, and I do dig films from the Coen brothers. I mean, I loved Raising Arizona, and I loved Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? But I really enjoyed The Big Lebowski because it ties the whole films together, man. Really ties it all together.
See, that's why you got me around. So I can help you find those gaps.
What were they saying about the stormtroopers?
Well, you got to. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But there's a whole thing about that similar vein where they're talking about the stormtroopers and construction and the Death Star and using as anyway. Yeah, you need to watch that. Actually, I think it's even on Netflix.
I know it's on Netflix. It's one of those I'll get to it kind of movies, you know.
And your homework assignment between now and the next show.
Thank you.
All right. So anyway, that's your homework assignment. You got to call in and tell us what you thought about that.
I certainly will.
Okay. Well, let's celebrate a couple of birthdays here. And Chuck, I don't know what day Chuck was thinking it was, but he said, "Oh, I'll throw these show notes together, and so you have something to go on." So anyway. February 28th, Wayne something something from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And February 29th, we have Paul Dove, a.k.a. Elmer, from Malmesbury, UK. And let's see. Actually, I'm gonna skip ahead. I'm going to go to our wiki. Let's see. ChuckChat.com.
Wayne something something is his actual name, or was that just Chuck writing it down, going, Wayne?
Something something.
Something. Oh, yeah, forget me.
He was channeling his inner Lou Anders. Something something something. Happy something birthday or something.
So I'm going to look at the birthday calendar and skip ahead here. Let's see.
All right.
And let's see. Coming up between now and the next show, which would be on the 12th, we have Ben Maddox, a.k.a. Captain Rootbeer. You might see him in the chat room from time to time. Number seven, Caleb from Dancing with Elephants. Y'all remember Caleb? Do you ever listen to him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we joke. He's probably in college by now.
Yeah, exactly.
His voice is changing. He's in college. Thanks. Yeah, there you go. And on the 8th, we have Ali Zine Youssef, a.k.a. Super Al 1394. Sounds like a standard. Number 8, BJ Kiefer, a.k.a. BJK. And let's see, on the 11th, we have Andy Helsby from Absoblog and Lutely. And on the 11th, we have Ken Kitzman, a.k.a. Kitzkin. There you go. Happy birthday to all you guys.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody. Yeah.
And if you want to get on the birthday calendar, if you have a birthday like most of us, go to the wiki, chuckchat.com/wiki, and you'll find it on there. You can log in and add your birthday.
Sweet ass.
Sweet. All right.
Did you say sweet ass?
Sweet ass, baby.
Sorry, okay.
I was trying to glaze over that, but yeah, he did.
It was sweet ass. It's a
sweet ass.
Sweet ass.
He drugged the ass out
from Hobbit land over here.
He was dragging out the Sweet as.
Sweet as.
Yeah, there you go.
Brother, behold.
Don't, just be careful where you say that.
Brother, behold that sweet as.
Hey, wait a minute. I haven't really spoken to y'all since y'all's big trip to New Zealand.
Ah.
Yes.
And y'all went to Hobbiton, didn't you?
Yeah.
We went to a ton of Hobbit. Yes, we did.
It's
we did.
So much. This is the third time we've been there.
So, yes.
They've really stepped up their game.
So, mm-hmm. so let me explain real quick.
Yeah, I want to hear a little bit about this, actually.
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, later in the show?
No, right now. Bring it on.
Right. Okay, yeah. Right. So we first, actually, Pip first took me there in 2009. And in 2009, it was basically an open field with a lot of holes.
Mm-hmm. Sort of the shell.
It was the shell, yeah. And
the side of the hill.
And you could actually go up to Bilbo's house or where Bilbo's house would
and
be.
And take pictures through it. But it was just a white.
It was just a white, a white, a giant
shell.
white hole or black hole with white, a white plane outsiding in two places where windows would be.
Okay.
So you had to really use your imagination.
Yeah. Well, and what they would do is they actually had these little placards around. Yeah, exactly. And they had these placards around that were still shots of the film. And what was happening in that particular
place. Also, they drove you up there in a truck and was like, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. See you later.
Yeah. Like 20 minutes.
And yeah. And it was very, very casual. So that was 2009.
Okay.
Then in 2010.
Yes.
They'd
started working on the pre-production of The Hobbit.
Right. So everything was in pre-production. So
some of the holes were done and decorated and looking.
Oh, so, I mean, you saw a crews there at that point or just?
Yeah, there were people, the construction crews were there.
Yeah, the construction crews were there. And because it was raining, they really weren't filming
and
anything.
And we had to sign to NDAs because no one had seen Hobbiton, the new Hobbiton.
We were not allowed to post any of our photos from the production until the very first, an unexpected journey dropped.
Oh,
so,
cool. All right. I'd have framed the NDA, you know.
it was one of the first things Serena ever. It was one of the first things.
First legal document.
Yeah, her first legal document.
Oh,
she had to actually sign it. It was
for the Hobbit.
So proud. And then, so that was in 2010.
And those were all of winter.
Honey, this is Sauron's action right here.
Exactly. So fast forward now 3 years, and we've actually can say we've seen it from pre-production to pre-production. To basically the wonderful world of Hobbiton. I mean, it was absolutely.
Oh, the best bit was you can go into the Green Dragon and they give you beer or cider or
ginger beer.
Ginger beer for the kids.
Yeah.
And
oh,
it's
man.
All beautiful on the inside. Oh,
that's great.
We can send you a couple of pictures.
Yeah, we'll send you some pictures for the show. But it was just tremendous. I mean, absolutely a tremendous. And oh, yeah, that's the other thing, too. So the first two times it was the same. It was we actually had the same tour guide between 2009 and 2010. Same rickety little
van
that took us out there. Same kind of principle, just a slightly bigger group.
Right.
So in 2013, you now have these customized Hobbiton buses. I mean, they're all green. They're air conditioned.
I don't remember Bilbo having air conditioning in Bag End.
4,000 people a day go through Hobbiton. So it's all very organized. Everyone's got little name tags now. It's a very organized, very orderly.
But it looks like you see in the movie.
Wow.
They maintain it in the gardens and stuff.
And see, that was the thing I remember reading was that when they started the production on The Hobbit, that they were making it more permanent.
First time around, they were just going to – well, they were originally going to pull it all down, but there was a big storm that sort of stopped them from – taking down all of the Hobbit things.
Yeah.
And then the farmer was like, hey, mate, no, maybe you shouldn't take that down.
That was Gandalf in action.
Money out of this.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And
you shall not pass.
Exactly.
Now you should give me some money.
Yeah. and it was done really, really well. I mean, they've really ramped up the merchandise you can get and
all
the different stuff.
Yes.
But it was just
helicopters.
Yeah, that's the other thing too.
Helicopters.
We drove by and there were these two helicopters and we said, are those for aerial tours? And they go, no, those are for people who are doing the VIP package. Those are for our uber rich.
Oh.
And we said,
we have them in New Zealand. Well, they visit.
And we said, so how often do you guys go through this? And he goes, well, let me put you this way. And this was at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, that's our second shift. So of helicopters.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it is a whole...
Well, it sounds like they missed an opportunity when Lord of the Rings was there.
They did, making it permanent.
Like, let's get on this.
I mean, the one of the best stories about this is that Peter Jackson shows up to this guy's farm, mm-hmm. and says, "We want to."
He lands in a helicopter.
Yeah, he lands in a helicopter. Goes up to the guy and he goes, "We're interested in shooting a movie here called The Lord of the Rings." And the guy says, "Lord of the what?"
Yeah.
And he goes, "Yeah, it's Lord of the Rings."
I've heard of the flies, like, well, but.
Yeah. And he said, we just want to walk around. He goes, "Well, fine. You know, you can go ahead and walk around. I got to watch the rugby game."
Yeah. So you go on. Yeah.
Whatever. So he goes back, goes to the rugby game, signs the papers. And he and his family came out to watch them shoot a scene on the farm.
And it was the one with the dragons and the fireworks.
Oh, so,
yeah, right. Fireworks. Yeah.
So everybody is reacting to stuff that isn't happening.
They're sitting on the hill. The family's sitting on the hillside going, "Oh, this is crazy."
Yeah. Yeah.
This is really,
what are they doing?
This is really going to tank. Hey, at least the check cleared the bank.
Yeah.
Well, then the movies are a huge hit and they're going to tear down everything. And then, you know, Pip's saying the storm came by. And the crews were supposed to show up, and just before the crews showed up, a group of people pulled up to this guy's house and said, "Hey, we're big fans of the film. Can we walk around the set?"
Mm.
And he was like,
"I sense an opportunity."
He was like, "Yeah, sure."
Yeah.
But then he noticed that there were more people showing up to do this, and then he was like, "Yeah, yeah, I can make a decent movie."
Yeah.
He closes his eyes and opens it back up, and there's dollar signs.
Yeah. Oh, and not just him. Matter, which is this tiny
rural
town,
yeah.
is now Hobbiton Central.
Right.
Hobbit all the time.
Yeah, and the way that the guy described it, he said our three biggest
exports.
Yeah, our three biggest exports from Matamata, New Zealand:
mm-hmm.
horse racing, dairy. Hobbiton.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And even the hobbits are riding the horses and milking the cows.
And milking the cows. So there you go.
That's pretty
cool.
But
it was a tremendous experience. And
it looked just.
It was like
stepping into the movie.
Yeah.
And you walk across the little bridge with there's the mill.
The mill. Mm-hmm.
The mill's
going.
And you walk across the bridge to the Green Dragon. I mean.
You can't go up to Bilbo's house, but when you get to. No admittance unless I'm party business.
All the
details are there. Yeah. You see Sam's house.
The party tree.
I mean, it's just tremendous.
Sam's house. I don't even think we saw that in the movie.
Great way to start off the year.
You can have your wedding or your, office party there.
They host private events there.
I bet so, yeah.
Green Dragon.
I'll have to show you my phone. My iPhone, I took a shot of. They have like East Farthing, West Farthing, all the different direction places.
Yeah.
And the one I got is the one pointing to the Green Dragon.
Hardly surprising.
That's pretty cool. I'll have to check. I want to see those pictures. That's cool. All right. So moving on, we got some in the Hacks and Strange Stories. And actually, we're going to, I think this is more of a step back in time a little bit, where they're talking about the jetpacks, the iconic jetpacks we've seen. Like, if you're a child of the 70s and 80s, you've probably seen them flying around. Like football games and stuff like that. So I'll load this up a little bit and we can talk about it. This is born out of the sci-fi era, pulp literature and general lust for launching ourselves into the wild blue yonder. The real world rocket belt began to truly unfold once the military industrial complex opened up its wallets. Of course, speaking of the dollar signs in your eyes in the late 50s, the U.S. Army's Transportation Research Command, or TRECOM, was looking for ways to augment the mobility of foot soldiers, enable them to bypass minefields and other obstacles on the battleground by making long-range jumps. Sounds cool. It put out a call to various aerospace companies and looking for prototypes of small rocket lift devices. Bell Aerospace, which had built the sound barrier breaking X-1 aircraft for the Army Air Forces, managed to get the contract. And Wendell Moore, the propulsion engineer for Bell, became the technical lead. And you can see the guy right here. Actually, I thought he looked like Jeremy Renner. You know,
I love the fact he's wearing this. He's wearing this whole space age jetpack, but he's wearing Ray-Bans. So he's kind of styling, if you think about it. You know?
and it looks like a pair of Chucks.
Well,
a pair of Chucks.
If you're going to die in style.
Well, I swear. Chucks and Ray-Bans. Yeah. Rock.
But I remember thinking, seeing this and, thinking, wow, that'd be cool, you know, to get up there and fly around. But
Wait, I got a trivia question for you. Can you name the movie where this made its first appearance?
James Bond.
Very good. Which one?
Dang it. Moonraker?
No. Thunderball.
Thunderball.
Opening, the opening of Thunderball. And it's really cool because when he lands, he goes, he says, no well-dressed man should be without one. And she goes, and the woman with him, with Connery goes, yes, quite fashionable.
Quite fashionable.
Didn't I hear that the guy that actually did it, you know, performed the stunt, didn't he have like something, had to put something down his back? Otherwise he was going to get burnt.
It was, yeah, it was something like that because the air.
And it was very short flight. It was like a couple of minutes.
It was only a couple of minutes and it was very, very short. But yeah, he had to put some kind of special, because the suit apparently was threatening. He couldn't wear the suit that he was using to test it.
Yeah.
Because he had to dress like Sean Connery.
Yeah.
And he was in his fine suit and he's like,
I wonder if that's that man.
No, I don't think it's that man. I mean, come on.
I don't recognize the Chucks.
But but no, it was the rocket pack was a neat idea, but kind of cool to think that we would all be flying around like the Rocketeer in the future.
Can you imagine Washington D.C. traffic with that?
I'd rather not. I'd rather not see it.
I'm done with this traffic. you know what scares me though is like some of the time of the flights. Like it went from 10 seconds in flight, all the way up to, was it 60 seconds, maybe a little more, and there or 21 seconds at an approached at a maximum range. Let's see. Or he talked about the height. Anyway, I was thinking. I'd get up there and go, oh, wow, I'm setting a new record for height, and, you know.
And nothing to catch you.
Yeah, there's no net.
The ground.
See, that's the problem. See, gravity works. Gravity works real well. Gravity works better than a rocket back. And
what was that? Where's that? I don't know where the quote's from, but it's like where they say flying is just falling with and missing the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I tell you something I would like. See, I would not feel comfortable trying out one of these because it's just, I mean, because even if the rocket pack does work, if you don't get the landing just right, you're gonna hit that ground pretty freaking hard.
That is a cool picture though of him in Arizona.
That is true. That could be the guy because it's circa 1966. He probably did. Yeah.
I bet it was that
he
same
was wearing
guy.
The Chucks and the Ray-Bans back in 66. Yeah.
Yeah. Chuck and the Ray-Bans. Those are government issue Ray-Bans.
When I see pictures like that, I mean, wow, that looks amazing and serene and stuff. Shortly after that, it could have been,
because I mean, you're not only trying to stay up, but you're also misfire. You're also trying to go forward as opposed to just go up.
Yeah.
But the thing that
I've cracked the atmosphere.
Yeah. Woot. the thing I want to try though, have you seen the water jet packs that they're trying to get off the ground?
Oh yeah. I've seen them in action.
Yeah.
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 At least you got the water to catch you.
Exactly. It's a bit like water skiing, you know, and you just let go of the thrust. And
unfortunately,
boom.
Very few minefields in the water.
That's true. That is true.
You know, for ground troops.
Yeah. For ground troops, maybe, but yeah, there's mines out there, but no, I saw a video of one of those water jet packs like you're talking about. And it was a fail. It was like one of those fail compilation videos.
Oh.
And it was a newscast. And the guy said, all right. And next up on news 3 is so-and-so. And he went to take off and it went and shot him back in the water.
Oh,
they're actually kind of dangerous because they can shoot you under the water and then you can't get out.
Yeah. Then I think he ended up emerging and coming out the other side of the water.
Oh, too funny.
Over to you, Susan.
Over to you, Susan.
Yeah. I
saw the thing you were talking about. Okay, by this time, the rocket belt was managing to stay aloft for... the rocket belt was managing to stay aloft for 21 seconds.
What
21
a
and a half seconds.
21 seconds.
But here's the problem. It approached a maximum range of 860 feet.
In now, 21 seconds?
Here's my question. Yeah. Is that 860 feet that way or 860 feet that way? Because I tell you something, going 860 and then coming down.
It's also going 80 miles per hour.
Yeah, that was my other point. 80 miles an hour.
In 21 seconds. Woo,
you're
right.
You're flying, man. You literally are flying.
No wonder he was wearing sunglasses.
You know,
look.
And probably a diaper as well.
I was suffering vertigo when I was watching the Felix Baumgartner unedited Helos drop. Have you ever seen that video?
Oh, yeah.
But it's the full unedited one, the one where it's just all done in one take and you see it from his perspective.
Yeah.
I was like, no effing way.
Yeah. If he didn't soil himself.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. I love the one where there's two people. I mean, yeah. Why are there two people on there? And how do they decide? What happens if one goes the other way? One goes, ash! And the other one goes, ah!
No, this way. No. Yeah.
No, this way. Yeah, tandem rocket belts. That's a bad idea.
It'd be great for a husband and wife team.
Oh, dear Lord. Woman, stop trying to fly us towards the gas station. I know which way we're going.
Going for shoes.
You would need marriage counseling after that. No.
But the 60s, it was all about having fun, right?
Yeah. It was all about trying to be James Bond, you know? Yeah.
Well, maybe it's the time again to start beating the Russians at something, because, you know, that was a good time for America.
Yeah, we don't see any of the pictures of the Russians trying to do this.
Oh, no. It's because it's all classified, even now.
It's all classified.
They pogoed all the way to Jupiter.
Yeah.
In Russia, you do not wear rocket pack. Rocket pack wears you. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Oh, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what T and Pip have actually been up to besides their tromping all over New Zealand. But so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Blue background, yellow, happy face.
Michigan State Wolverines, beautiful? Right? If it was blue with yellow, it's Michigan State.
Dang.
My Google's blue and white.
Never mind.
Michigan State Wolverines.
It happens. And there's a reason I do that, so to make sure you're listening to the whole show. That way you can pick out the things that are wrong and call us back, and then I know you listened.
That's our mantra here on Technorama.
Yeah. Purposely put something wrong in it and see if they detect it.
You listened.
Yeah.
What kind of mantra is that?
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
All right, welcome back, and we're going to give a quick shout out to the chat room, which there's not many people in there. Usually, you know what, I may have forgotten to tweet and Facebook this out.
There's no people that are in there.
Yeah. That's all right.
And for the people who are in the chat room, this is a really big surprise.
Yeah. So Captain Rootbeer, who's always in there, Gru is also in there. Actually, Gru is Steve Rickyberg. He kind of heads up some of
the Rickster.
Yeah, he's actually the man, one of the men behind our IRC chat room here.
All right.
We got Mad Marv and Tim Elliott, the Elliott boy. So that's our chat room. But hey, come join us in our chat room. We do it every Sunday night at 9:30. And the show's raw and unedited. You can see how Chuck says the proverbial sausage is being made.
Or perverted, whichever one, you know.
Perverted,
you know, yeah, hey.
That's another show.
Proverbial perversion.
Yeah. So just circle up Technorama on Google Plus and or Facebook or wherever, and we'll keep you informed unless you're waiting on me to do it, and I probably won't let you know. So anyway, and you know what, I put this next story in because it kind of leads into one of the things T is going to talk about, but I kept looking at this, and it's, you know, the closest that Star Trek's Leonard Nimoy is ever going to make it to Star Wars. And I had not seen this before, but I did watch this. It was Leonard Nimoy actually hosting a video on sort of like a it's a documentary on the Return of the Jedi, talking about behind the scenes there, the Blue Harvest name or what the you know, the schemes that were trying to keep it covered up so people didn't see things, and some of the actors and all that kind of stuff. It was a pretty cool little video, but I put it in here because, and I'll explain in a second. But did y'all watch this?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Sorry, bro.
You didn't do your homework.
On the internet.
It's on the internet.
I missed something on the interwebs?
Yeah. Damn. Well, this is back in the 80s.
Read it, right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. I'll read the opening thing for you. So back in the 80s, Leonard Nimoy hosted a really cool Nickelodeon show called Stand By Lights, Camera, Action, which I've seen a few times.
I remember that show.
Yeah. And it was the kind of show where you'd never see on the kids' networks these days. But it's nerdy and behind the scenes of various TV shows. and movies that kids adored and helped pave the way for next generation movie geeks who relish in this type of knowledge, just like us, right?
Yes.
I remember. I remember this.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool show. You know, every once in a while you'd see a movie, go, oh yeah, I want to see that. And they always have some little clips that you normally just didn't see in the mainstream. Especially, well, with before pre-internet, you didn't see some of these things.
Yeah.
Now you see leaked stuff all the time.
Dark
times before the internet, before we were enlightened, right?
Yeah.
The day the internet came on, we call that the Enlightenment.
The Enlightenment, exactly.
So. We were transfigured or transported.
Yeah, but anyway, I put this in here because of the inspiration that T got for doing Billy Bob Baddings, right? I kept thinking, I kept thinking of that when I saw this, and I'll let you talk about that in a minute. But anyway, so. Let's talk about your projects that you've got going on. And I know, T, I know y'all have been busy since, especially the last time we checked up with y'all.
Which is why I didn't see the clip here on Star Wars. But I remember that show, Stand By, Lights, Camera, Action. I remember that show.
Yeah, sometimes there were cool movies that they would always highlight and be like, okay, let's check this out. You know? And,
yeah. So I remember that.
Now they have the interwebs.
Now we have Tay interwebs, and you also have shows like that you would never see on a kid's, it's too intelligent. There's no laugh track.
Well, you know what's actually funny is there's a, what's that? I forget, there's a show. It comes on like an independent TV station around here on Saturdays. And they're always talking about movies that are coming out, but you watch it and I'm like, whoa, they are so behind because I've already seen trailers. I've already seen trailers and clips and interviews with people. And the movie just came out and the TV show's like, about a month, you know, removed. Yeah. But anyway,
Speaking of movie trailers and speaking of Breaking Bad, have you seen the new extended Godzilla clip?
Yes.
That looks amazing.
Even Harrison is so. Harrison is beside himself waiting for this. you know why? In part because of Pacific Rim.
Because
we saw that in the theater, and you know, I'm thinking this is gonna be fun movie. All right. During the movie, there's cool fight scenes. The story's, it's not as thick as a lot of action movies try to be, but it's just a fun.
That's the best part. That was the best part.
And I look over at Harrison during the fight scenes. He is grinning from ear to ear. He's about to swallow his ears. He's smiling so hard. So when I told him Godzilla was coming up, he went, oh, cool. So, you know, it's going to be a little different vein, I think, with Godzilla, but.
I think they're going a little darker on this one, and I'm anxious to see it.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
back to projects.
Yes.
Back to projects. Well,
now you know, I got them in an order here, but y'all can totally mix them up.
That's why I'm turning the mic over to my lovely wife.
Because, as you should.
As I should. Because
like I'm poking in the back.
Yeah. She just had a book come out today at the filming of this, but it's, it'll still be within the first week.
Well, you remember I podcast with a child back in the dim early days of podcasting.
Yeah, the dark days.
No. Yes.
Before the dark times.
Before the dark. I'd already podcast a couple of things, but I think that was the last book I podcast.
That was actually, the last book, yeah. Yeah.
So I
finally, you actually did it on a dare, if I remember correctly. It was supposed to be you, Dan Sawyer, and Chris Lester.
That's right. And who finished their project? Me.
You. Yes.
Admittedly, they hadn't written theirs.
But exactly. That was the problem.
Oh, that would be a problem.
So, yeah, With a Child is out. It's on all the platforms. It's got a pretty cover by Alex White from the Gearheart.
And those are very cool, by the way. All your covers are awesome.
It was funny. He said to me, what do you want on your cover? And I said, well, ideally, I'd love to see Faith, who's the main character, you know, hovering in a cloud with, like, rain and rainbows. And he's like, oh, I can do that. I said, how can you do, you know, zero gravity? He's like, I got ways. And he ended up, I got skills.
Yeah.
He ended up hosing down a cute girl in a white dress and getting her to jump on a trampoline in front of a green screen. And some of the outtakes are hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
But then she got several ones where she's sort of very serene.
Yeah.
So, and then we laid out the book for print.
Yep.
And it's, ebooks, I still love ebooks, but print books, you can get the pretty, you know, artwork and you can get them just right, just how you want them to be.
Yeah, see, I love ebooks too, but also, you know, there's something romantic about having a book in your hand.
A book. A
but at the same time, I'll read all really only ebooks pretty much. You know, but
I mean, the way I
don't mind you buying both.
No, no, we're good. We're good with buying another one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that's the way I've always regarded print versus, you know, someone asked me what's the difference between laying out an ebook and laying out a print book, and I answer with the same answer. I basically take a print book, strip it of all typography personality or typographical. I'm not sure what to call it, but basically I just take all the typography, take all the personality out of it, and there's your ebook.
Well, you're trying to make it variable flow, compliant, and all that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not allowed to be creative with it.
Remove styles.
not only styles, but like in our Kickstarter anthology that we funded last year, Ministry Protocol. There was a short story from Jared Blackwell, and she was reading Wellington was reading three different journal entries. So it's three different journal entries from three different agents. And I said, well, I don't want to use the same font for each agent. So I had a handwriting font for one. I had a slightly different handwritten font for the second agent. And for the third agent, I had this old style typewriter where, you know, the type wasn't quite perfect. Some of the characters were off by a hair and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And each journal entry talked with a different voice. It had a different personality. Currently, you cannot do that with ebooks because you're really limited to the fonts that you can use on an ebook.
That people will have. Yeah. You know,
you could do bold, italic, and strike through.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, exactly.
Go crazy.
Woo!
I'm
trying to prompt you. Yes, Weatherchild, come out. Hey, Pip, tell us about Weatherchild.
Excuse me,
you crazy
kids.
Yeah, so
the book is all out, and we'll see. This is the one that New York said Americans don't want to read about New Zealand settings and New Zealand people. So, but it's also it's a fantasy story.
Wait a
so...
minute, that's what they said, really?
Yeah, that's what they really said.
How can
they
say something like that?
I don't know. It bewilders me, but I'm like, okay.
Nobody wants to read a story about a little young wizard, you know, going to school.
Wizard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's all active. I'm actually going to re-record it because in editing, a bunch of different stuff changed, and then I'm going to put it on Audible because I'm like that.
Hey, Pip, tell us about Weatherchild. What's the story?
Oh.
Yeah.
Excuse me a second. I got a desk here. I got to put my head to.
You know, I'll edit this and put the, you know, swap orders.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Tell us about Weatherchild.
It's said, and it's because I'm leaning against you. It's
stop it.
Yeah.
Get a room.
It's set in the 1920s and 1930s. It's been between the two world wars, but in New Zealand there are these creatures called the Seraphim who can give people powers, but you have to live with them inside your head. So some people want a seraphim because it gives them power. Some people do not because it's annoying to have somebody riding along in your head all the time.
It's like being possessed almost, right?
It's like kind of being possessed. And some of them, and it also, sometimes people go crazy. Some people burn out their powers, sort of, you know, turn them into crisps. and so two of the...
Brain crisps, yes.
One of the characters, Faith, is very in tune with her seraph and she really likes having him around. And the other character, Jack, is a character that fought in the First World War, and that's where he got his seraph, and he does not like him, and he has a very sort of antagonistic relationship with his seraph. And they discover that there's a conspiracy, and somebody is trying to use the seraph and their powers for some sort of devious plans.
Yes.
So. And it's also interesting in that fact that it spans like 10 years as well. And so it's got four different parts, four different time periods, much like True Detective. And in fact, I go one better. I got four. They've only got three. So yeah, we will see. It was only released yesterday. The print book came out today. So.
All right. So where can you get that from? I guess.
Oh, man.
Everywhere.
Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Smashwords, Amazon. The print is available on Amazon now. It should be sort of.
Yeah.
It's available on, you know, it's going to filter out into all the different channels. But yes, and it's beautiful and pretty, and go buy it.
You can find out the details also at pjballantine.com. There you go.
And you're now those books we will see. We see in the bookstore and all that kind of stuff too, right?
You can actually order them in because they'll go through Baker and Taylor, which is the distributor to all, you know, big bookstores. The remaining big bookstore, yeah. I should say.
Yeah.
The sole one. So if you ask for it, I'm sure they could order it.
Yeah, I was looking through my pictures the other day and I had a picture of y'all's books on the shelf, you know, at the Books A Million here in town. And I was telling everybody that walked by, I know these people. I know them.
It's funny. Alex White was at a dentist's office and he looked across and someone was reading
Phoenix Rising.
And he had to go across and go, I know those people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the guy was probably like, okay.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Fine. What do the voices in your head say?
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
So what about your projects, mister?
Well, let's see.
That's all the time we've got for this show. Right?
Yeah, great. Yeah. Thank you.
You've only got till 11, babe.
Yeah. Yeah. Woot! I guess the first thing we should talk about is the unexpected and quite exciting Kickstarter that is currently happening on Kickstarter.com. Pardon me, I think the cold is finally getting.
No, he's getting choked up. People, sorry about that.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, yeah, we have a cat too. Yeah, but it's basically the Curse of Dillinger's Diamond, a Billabub Baddings mystery for your listeners. For those of you who are familiar with the dark times, before the times of Weatherchild, but after the times of Moravi and Earthcore, there was the Billabub Baddings podcast, and right. That was the one that had the Case of the Singing Sword, my very first Billy mystery. And since the Case of the Pitcher's Pendant, which came out in 2009, people have been asking me, where is the next Billy? And the bottom line is that there hasn't been enough financial interest in other parties to pick up Billy. Okay. My agent has passed on it. I've had other publishers pass on it. So I've decided to test the market and turn it over to the fans and go, look, if I can get $15,000, I will make this my top priority. And by February 2014... By February 14th, 2015, you will have in your hands the third Billy mystery, which is The Curse of Dillinger's Diamond.
Okay.
That means I'd have to, and honestly, for books, an 11-month turnaround is actually quite rapid, because that means I'd have to write it, I have to edit it, mm-hmm. I have to write it again, I have to edit it again, yeah. Then I have to lay it out, and then I've got to get a cover for it, and then I've got to release it.
Sounds like you've done this before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Wait, back up for a second. Not everybody's familiar with Billy, so give us a little bit of background on Billy.
So
what Billy is Billy Bub about?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Craig. I'll tell you all about it.
All right.
Okay, so Billy comes from an alternate dimension. He was going on a quest with some buddies of his, and his job was, you had one job, Baddings.
You failed.
And yeah, exactly. And he, his job was to go with an elf, a ranger, all these people. They went on a quest. It was more like a dungeon crawl. And they discovered these nine talismans that were going to open up a portal of oblivion and bring in something very nasty. So Billy decided, you know what? Probably the easiest way to close this portal of oblivion is throw these keys into the portal. And he did that, but to do that, he had to get close to the portal. He gets sucked through.
Mm-hmm.
He winds up going through this portal and he ends not in oblivion, but he ends in the basement of a public library in Chicago, and it's 1928. So he works his way through the library, teaches himself how to read, decides, you know what? I've got to find a profession for me to do. And his favorite thing in the library are detective novels.
Of course.
He decides he's going to be a detective.
Right.
And thus, Billabub Baddings Investigations is founded, and he starts doing divorce cases and things like that. And then he gets his first creepy case, which is this talisman. And he realizes it's one of the talismans that he threw through the portal. And that is the Singing Sword. That is what it's called, the Singing Sword.
Gotcha.
And that was the first mystery. It was very well received, both in print and in podcast form. It actually won the Parsec in 2008 for Best Audio Drama.
Mm-hmm.
And Pitcher's Pendant came out in 2009 as part of the Double Trouble promo that Pip and I did back then. And it was a lot of fun. The series was a stitch. It's all played for laughs. I mean, it was so far out there
and it actually worked. That's the thing.
What?
It's so far out there. You know, the concept of him coming into, you know, Chicago and becoming a detective, and it actually works.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm very proud of the concept. I'm very proud of the series. The problem has been that no one has wanted in the industry, no one has wanted to pick up the series.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fallen back to me to produce something. And I'm like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, cause I've got other projects that I need to get to. One of them we're going to talk about in just a moment,
but
I've got other projects that need my attention. In particular, I've got a brand new urban fantasy that I'm working on. I want to get that rolling.
We're doing a YA together.
We're doing a YA together based in the Ministry universe.
Sorry.
We got another YA.
List over there.
Yeah, exactly. I keep looking at the list going, oh, it grew. So I've got all these projects, but then everybody asks, where's the next Billy? Where's the next Billy?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what brought about this. It brought about this particular Kickstarter. And while people are saying, oh, okay, well, T's going to go in this massive promo, not really, because I don't want to over-promote. As much as I am excited about the Billy Kickstarter, I'm more excited about what's happening on the 25th of this month, because 20 days from this podcast,
right,
we've got Dawn's Early Light coming out. Now, there's a lot riding on Dawn's Early Light.
Wait a minute. What is Dawn's Early Light?
Thank you. The third book.
Of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences.
That's right.
And you can find out more about that at ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com.
Yes.
But yeah, so we have the third book in the Ministry series coming out. And the reason why there's a lot writing on this is that we've jumped publishers. We were published with Harper Voyager. We are now published with Ace Rock Books. And this, even though this is the third book in the series, this is untested territory for them. So we got to make sure that we make a splash. We got to make sure that people get the book and people make sure that they enjoy the ride. And we've put a lot into Dawn's Early Light. There's a kind of like with Weather Child. I give a lot of tip of the hat in Dawn's Early Light to the Outer Banks, because that mm-hmm. was the inspiration behind this book.
Well, you can see the Outer Banks on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah. the Outer Banks is on one of the lighthouses from the Outer Banks made the cover of Dawn's Early Light.
Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I do have to, before any of the hardcore Outer Banksians come after us, I do want to make it clear that yes, that is not Currituck Lighthouse on the cover. The problem is Currituck Lighthouse is not as photogenic as the Body Lighthouse,
right,
which is why Body is on the cover and Currituck is not.
Currituck's in the book.
But Currituck made it in the book.
Currituck, if I'm not mistaken, is not painted.
No.
Yeah, it's red.
It's red brick. It was left brick red. Yes, it was mm-hmm. left brick red.
I've been there. Yep.
Doesn't look as pretty on a cover.
No, it really doesn't. But the thing that was cool, I still remember how it happened. We were in the Outer Banks. We were vacationing. And I was watching the Currituck Lighthouse go off. And I thought to myself, wouldn't it be cool if we turned that into a death ray? And it just kind of, yeah, exactly. Actually, the sound effect in my head, and it was so hard to describe in the book, but the sound effect I had in my head is that classic George Powell War of the Worlds death ray that the Martians use. You know, that whoom, whoom, whoom.
Oh, yeah.
That was what I heard in my head.
Hears that sound.
I usually hear that in my head. Yeah. You know,
wakes up in the middle of the night. What was that?
Somebody cuts me off in traffic. I go, womp, womp, womp. Pew, 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 pew. It's either pew, 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 or it's catch magic missile, catch magic missile. I do that because it always cracks me up.
I know.
So Dawn's Light coming out
March
25th. We were very excited about it. We want
to
make
sure. The first story of the Tales of the Archives to support it is out.
Yeah, that one's out.
In fact, you'll be able to get it in e-publication for free.
Yes. And then next week we had an intern in February, and she has written a Tales from the Archives that's going to be dropping next week. We basically put to her, we said...
The week after next.
No, next week. It's the 11th.
Oh,
yeah. The 11th is next.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes, next week.
On the 11th, it's going to drop. We asked her to write the most Canadian steampunk she could come up with. And boy, howdy, did she deliver.
Hey.
Really? Hey.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's called, and it's basically called Under Oak Island. So you got that to look forward to as well.
Okay. I'm going to check that out. That'd be cool.
But for those folks, for those listeners who don't know what the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences is, let me give you that elevator
pitch.
What is
that? What is that, T?
I
started to say
you.
Chuck. What
you
is that, Chuck?
Chuckle, don't you? You just miss chuckles. So the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, in a nutshell, just strap James Bond in a corset and there you go. It's a lot like it's part X-Files, it's part BBC Avengers, but and it's all set in Victorian England in the later
with
years.
A New Zealand secret agent.
A New Zealand secret
who
agent.
Who likes to blow stuff up.
Yeah.
And a stuffy archivist who doesn't like to get in adventures. Well, apparently, he says.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But Dawn, and so that's the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. And Dawn's Early Light, the way I describe it, instead of planes, trains, and automobiles, you've got airships. Airships, hypersteams, and motor cars. I mean, it's a cross country trek,
we hit some fun spots.
We hit some seriously fun spots, and we
too bad you can't get John Candy and Steve Martin to be in that movie. Steampunk, plane, trains, and automobiles.
We wound up having a lot of inventors, a lot of famous American inventors, make cameos in this. So it's really been
wall-to-wall inventors.
It's wall-to-wall inventors. Oh, cool. We're going across the country. We hit New York. We didn't hit New York. We hit Detroit. We hit Detroit, the Outer Banks. We hit the Arizona Territories, and we end in San Francisco. We're having a blast in this book.
That sounds like fun.
Oh yeah. So we have that. We have that coming up. And,
now, wait a minute. Between all the books, though, you do have. Just to go back a little bit and explain, Tales of the Archives is episodes that are stories from the archives of the ministry.
Yes.
You know. There's stories of the different agents, sometimes Eliza and Wellington, sometimes secondary characters, sometimes brand new characters that you don't see in the novel so far.
So far. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also been a lot of fun because, mm-hmm. You know, you've played in the universe as well, Craig. Mm-hmm. The podcast is our free introduction. If people really dig the short stories, they're gonna love the novels.
It's a nice little
It's
a sampler box.
Pretty much.
So if you want
a steampunk Whitman sampler.
Yeah. So if you want to start off with the Tales of Arc, go to episode 11 in volume 2.
hey, Greg, wait, back up. Mm-hmm. That's the award-winning season.
That's true.
Yes. Episode 11.
That's true.
Because remember,
that was the
winning season. That brought home the gold. We were so stunned. We went out to have a nice little Labor Day woot-a-thon with some friends, and we've imbibed a bit. We're feeling good. We stumble in the house, and Pip goes, "Oh my God!" And I'm like, "What? We just won a Parsec." I'm like,
"Yes."
And I learned a very valuable lesson. Even if I don't think that we're gonna win anything. For the person who is accepting the award for us, we should send something.
Yeah.
But hey, bro, your phone wasn't broken. You could have called me and put me on speaker. And then
We
did that with Paul Herring. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I probably should have done that, I guess.
Remember it for next time.
Yeah.
For next time. For the next one.
I could just do it in slow motion and text you and get your responses back.
Yeah, that would be, because nothing is more exciting. The only person who makes texting exciting is Liam Neeson, okay? Because he's a Neeson's, yo!
Anyway. He's Neeson, yeah.
Yeah, but we're very excited about Dawn's Early Light. We're very excited about the Billy Kickstarter. We'll see how that wraps up on the 16th. And we're really chuffed about Weatherchild. It's Pip's love letter to home.
Yes,
and
if you want a little slice of New Zealand, want to learn a little bit about New Zealand, it's almost all true except for the seraphim who make you a magician, which
what
may or
it's
may
not
be true,
that part's not. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. It may or may not be true.
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's right. Hey, well, we're running out of time, but I want to touch on your RPG that you did.
So the RPG
tell us a little bit about that real quick.
The RPG is from Galileo Games. It is called The Ministry Initiative.
We are not right. We have written the forward.
Yeah, we've written the forward, but then that punt from that is all Galileo Games.
Okay.
It is up to Galileo Games to deliver it. We've been told it's going to be coming out in March, but we're not really sure whether or not that is still on target or not. We're trying to follow up.
We know that they've got PJ Schneider and J.R. Blackwell on the case.
And they've done phenomenal work.
The pictures look grand.
Oh.
So we're hanging anxiously waiting to see the product.
This is a RPG that belongs in the Ministries world.
Yes, you can play an agent of the Ministry. You get all the gears and gadgets and gizmos. It's a Fate Core based system. We got some really nice steampunk dice ready to roll.
We're just waiting on the game right now.
That we also earned enough on the Kickstarter that you can actually. We've got two supplements that will be coming after the game, which will be you can play villains, and you can go into R&D and make your own steampunk gadgets.
Yeah. So there's a lot of optimism and a lot of excitement around the RPG. We just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And we're impatiently waiting for it. In fact, we're going to be doing some follow-ups with Galileo in the next week, because we'd like to know whether or not, because we've had some cons ask, are you going to do it? We'd love to do a gaming session with you guys. And sure. We would too.
Dragon Con. They got a big gaming there. Section down.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So knowing us, it'll all happen at once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As you do.
So there's no timetable on that just yet. They're just kind of working on it.
I'm going to say at the
not that we know of.
not that we know of, but at this stage of the game, we're going to say late March. If we're really lucky, late March. If we are on target, probably mid-April.
But we're just guesstimating.
Yeah, that's just a guesstimation.
Okay. All right, and we'll be sure to let everybody know when. All listeners know when it comes around.
Oh yeah, yeah. We will.
Alex White shot the cover for the role playing game as well, and it's beautiful. So,
that's awesome. That's awesome. All right, so be sure be looking out for Weather Child and Dawn's Early Light. When was Dawn's Early Light coming out? You said April
25th.
Let's see. Weather Child is out now. Weather Child
now.
Mm-hmm. Dawn's Early Light on the 25th.
Okay.
Billy Kickstarter finishes on the 16th. Currently, we are at 35%, so it's we're at the halfway mark. And I should also mention that to celebrate how well I think the Billy Kickstarter has been performing, we've taken the ebook versions of The Case of the Pitcher's Pendant and the Case of the Singing Sword. We've reduced them to 99 cents. So they're going to stay at 99 cents all the way up to March 16th.
Okay. So go try out some Billy.
Yeah.
And if you like him,
go ahead and back him.
Most people do like Billy.
Yeah. Go ahead and back him.
Yeah, you can. I'm sure you'll be able to find it on the internet, but I'll have links in the show notes for all that too.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, so awesome. There you go. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. This is we appreciate your support, and I want to thank T and Pip for joining me tonight and Chuck's stead. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call a listener line at 206-222-CHAT and tell me about your dry cleaning if you'd like. Or you can email technorama@chuckchat.com. And don't forget, we're also on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, and links to that will be in the show notes. And how can people find out more about you two guys?
ministryofpeculiarrecurrences.com, pjballantine.com, and tmorris.com.
There you go. And I'm sure you're on Google Plus too, right?
We are everywhere.
We're everywhere. We're like kudzu. We're everywhere.
That's right. So you can find links to all this in the show notes at chuckchat.com. And, you know, we do take donations from time to time. So if you want to throw in a micropayment, you can go to the website and set y'all
up. After you back up the Billy Kickstarter.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Go throw some money at T for Billy and then come throw some money at us. So we want to thank Mad Mar for providing us some great blog content each week. And everybody else has sent links, which, you know, we've got a few here and there. And to those who just joined the Hangout, we really appreciate it. And there you go. And without any further ado, you two guys give me a big binary high five.
101.
Magic missile.
All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night.